Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 141, returning after a break from running. So I got a question the other day about, had I ever done a podcast about returning to running after a long break? And I thought, wow, that's a good question, because lots of people go on long breaks, take long breaks from running. Sometimes it's probably about half the time it's because they don't have a choice because they've got an injury. The other half the time, life gets in the way. You know, if you back off of running for a week, then it's easier to back off for 2 weeks. And then from there, it's easier to just skip a few days. And from skipping a few days, it's easy to skip a week. And once you're not running, it's easy to keep not running. So that's the other reason sometimes people take a break. And a lot of times they don't even intend to. Initially, they just take a few days off and it just keeps building. Both are situations, though, where you find yourself coming back. Now, if it's because you had an injury, the way you come back might need to be differently depending on the situation and what the injury is. And so I can't specifically speak to that because I'm not a physical therapist and I don't want to pretend to be a medical professional. But I can basically tell you that the worst thing you can do when you come back from an injury, and I think any medical professional would support this, is to try to do too much too fast. I think anytime you have an injury that requires you to take an extended time off from running, the best advice, and I think you should always follow this advice, is to, hopefully you're going to a physical therapist and take that person's advice. You know, there are a lot of fantastic physical therapists. They understand the body way better than most people, the muscles, how they work, and they will release you gradually. Like when I've had injuries, many times the physical therapist, when I'm first allowed to go back to running, it's on the treadmill at the physical therapy office so that they can see how I look and monitor me and make sure I don't do too much too fast. And then the person might say, okay, it's okay to run several times between now and next week, and then we'll see how you feel, or between now and the next time. But it's usually very specific what I can do, and then the next time I go in, they want to know how I felt and how I feel that day. And then they can help guide beyond that. And I think, you know what? They might be overcautious sometimes, but that's really the logical thing to do, because there is nothing worse than trying to return to running too fast and having a relapse. So my advice is to always follow their advice. I have known people who had joint replacements, and we're given a schedule. You know, if you have a joint replaced, you're always going to be in physical therapy for some time after that until you have your movement and your day-to-day activity back, until you can do everything normally. So it might be quite some time. A joint replacement is a pretty severe change to your body. Well, I've known people who had knees replaced who did not follow the advice of the physical therapist and just couldn't resist and went back to running too soon and ended up undoing all the good of the joint. You know, ends up six months later with just as much pain as before the joint replacement and unable to run. But I've also known people who had joints replaced who are running marathons. I'm not saying you should or that's okay. That's between you and your doctor and your physical therapist. But what I know, and I think what everybody will admit, is that if you let a physical therapist tell you what to do and when to do it, that's the safest way to return to running. And no matter whether you agree with it or not, you know, I don't know as much as the physical therapist, that's for sure. And most of you wouldn't either, I wouldn't think. So I think that's where you have to put your own thinking on the back shelf, and just, even if you think you can do more, follow their guidance. And so often it's totally possible to maintain great fitness, great cardiac fitness, and keep pretty much all your muscles very well toned by doing something like swimming. I'm just coming back from an injury literally that affected me for 9 whole months. And when I realized I was going to have to take a prolonged time off, and I took 6 weeks off, I swam 5 days a week, and that kept me in really good shape. I mean, my upper body got in better shape than it's been in years. So just realize that there's almost always something else you can do. And it's been my experience that very often physicians and physical therapists will recommend swimming in the meantime. Of course, it depends on what the injury is. For me, the injury was my hip. And if I did flutter kick very hard, that would aggravate it. So I used what swimmers call a pole buoy, which is a float that you put between your thighs, and then you cross your ankles, and that allows you to do swim freestyle just with your arms, just with your upper body. So, and you can get a very good, very intense workout that way, but the legs are not getting any exercise. But sometimes that's the part you need to be resting. I found that if I did flutter kick, which is the typical kick that you would do with freestyle, I could do a little bit and it didn't cause me any problems. So that was fine. I could swim freestyle. But if I kicked hard to try to really actually get some level of exercise with my legs, then that would aggravate it. So what I did, though, I found out, oddly, that frog kick didn't bother it at all. So I did frog kick. And I asked my physician, and she said, hey, I think that's a really good exercise for you to be doing. So that's what I recommend doing. Ask your physician, ask your physical therapist what you can do, and get guidance from them as far as how quickly to come back. I am not one of these people that says no pain, no gain, push it, you know, see what you can do. I would only say see what you can do if that's what your physical therapist says. And sometimes that is what they've said to me. Okay, let's see what you can do. Go out and try to run, or go out and run. And if it starts hurting, stop. But only do that if they tell you, because sometimes every time you go out and try to run, it might make it worse. Until, like, an example of that would be a stress fracture. You might think you just have shin splints, but it might in fact be a stress fracture. And what's going to happen if you try to run with a stress fracture is every time you try to run, you're going to set back your healing. So you want to actually, if you have pain in your shins, you want to find out if it's a stress fracture. Although I will tell you, my experience has been that they generally don't show up on x-rays right away. So this is, I digress a little, but you know, if you have pain in your shins, you have to take it very seriously, because you can't know for sure if it's bad enough that you've already got a stress fracture, and you don't want that to happen. So if you have the precursor to that, which is a stress reaction, that isn't a fracture yet, but you don't know, and going out for one more run, or running one more mile, might be just what shifts it from being just a stress reaction to a stress fracture, and then you're out for at least 6 weeks, probably 8. So I digress, but just take advice from medical professionals. But then the other thing is, I would do always, as you're trying to return from any injury, if that's why you've been off, while you're off from running, and then as you get back into running, there's a few things you want to consider. One, make sure you're getting lots of rest. A good thing to do while you're off from running, if it's because you have an injury, is if you're overweight at all, refocus instead of the focus being on your running. Change and give yourself a new goal and say, okay, I'm going to be off running for however long, let's say it's a month. Say I'm going to lose 5 pounds this month. Maybe you're going to be off running for 3 months. Maybe you had like some surgery or something. Sometimes it's not running related, but it does require you to have many weeks off, then set yourself a goal like, okay, I'm going to be off running for 3 months. I'm going to lose 15 pounds. And I've seen people do that and come back and they're while it might take a few weeks to get their running endurance back, it's very much easier from the beginning because now they're carrying less weight. It's less stress on their joints. And generally, overall, they're in better health. So do that. And even if you don't have weight to lose, while you're not running, tweak your diet. Make sure it's better than it's ever been. You can just focus on that. Remember, there are a lot of foods that are inflammatory. Look it up online. You want to reduce the number of inflammatory foods and increase the nutrient density of your diet, because whatever the healing is your body is trying to do, you want to facilitate it as much as you can. The other thing is to get a lot of rest. Your body heals more when you are resting than any other time. And when you're sleeping, it heals much more than any other time. So make sure you maximize your sleeping during that time, because you'll heal faster. Just like it's been proven that if you don't sleep enough, you're more likely to get injured. So that's really critical. Now, if you, whether you have, the other thing I wanted to say is when you start back, a really good way to do it, and of course, again, it would depend on where the injury is, if you have an injury, but there's a type of treadmill called the Alter G treadmill. And my friend, Dr. Brian Fulham, turned me onto that when I had my first stress fracture, which was about 10 years ago, probably more than that. And I want you to Google it. It's called Alter G, and G stands for gravity. And when I say Alter, A-L-T-E-R. And it looks similar to a regular treadmill, but the arms that you would hold on to, or that you could hold on to on a treadmill that are parallel to the floor, those hook in and out of the front part of the treadmill. So, I mean, everybody has seen, I'll explain this. Let's see. Everybody has seen or had bookshelves or shelves in their house where you have, or maybe they're in the garage, where you have a metal piece, metal strips vertical on the wall. And then and then you have a little piece that hooks into them so that it allows you to adjust the height of different shelves. And you just lay the shelves on top of the support, but the supports can be adjusted in the metal strip. Well, the rails on an Alter G treadmill work very similar to that. When you walk up to an Alter G treadmill, the rails are going to be laying on the base of the treadmill. And that's because there is a plastic cube, and it's shaped like a cube, made out of plastic that's attached to those rails. And it's also attached to the treadmill. Well, what happens is, you step, there's a hole in the middle of it, in the top side. So if you're imagining a cube, and it's all stitched up, and it's solid and airtight, except there's a circle opening about the size of someone's waist in the top. So when you walk up to an Alter G treadmill, it's all folded up on the treadmill, and the horizontal pieces, the rails, are also down. You step into the center part of what would be that cube, then you pick up those two rails and lift them up. So so now you're inside the center, the circle in the center of the cube. You're lifting up those rails, and as you do, you're lifting up the cube around your waist, and then you click those rails into the front of the treadmill at the right height for your height. Now you're basically standing on a treadmill, and you're in a cube. So the next thing you do is you zip yourself into that cube. Now, let me backtrack a little bit. When you get on a treadmill, in order to use the Alter G treadmill, you have to wear these special shorts. They look like bike shorts. Now, Alter G treadmills, you're generally going to find either at a doctor's office or physical therapy office or chiropractor's office. Probably more often than not, you're going to find them in physical therapy offices. So you stand in it, but you have to have already put on these special shorts. Usually they have shorts that you can borrow, but a lot of times they require you to purchase the shorts. The shorts look like bike shorts, except what's unusual about them is that they have a horizontal zipper that goes all the way around your waist. And the cube that you've stepped into also has the other half of the zipper that goes around horizontally. In other words, it's parallel to the floor. So you zip yourself in, and in doing that, you've made it so that it's airtight, the part below your waist, where you're in the bottom part of your body that's in the cube. Now, the next thing you do, in the front of the treadmill, where you have the readouts, it looks very similar to any other treadmill, except there's a place where you tell it, when you turn it on, you can tell it how much of your weight you want it to take off. And then what happens is that when you turn it on, that cube fills up with air. And it can, you can tell it to take 100% of your weight off. And in order to do that, the cube fills up with so much air that it lifts you up off your feet. It's really a weird sensation. It will lift you to where you're just barely touching the treadmill with your toes, so no weight is on your feet. Now, it does this because it's pulling you up from your shorts. So a little tip that they will always tell you is don't pull up those shorts too high because it can be uncomfortable. You don't want that pulling up too much on your crotch. But what most people would do is you get on there, maybe you set it so you're only using 60%, say, of your body weight the first time you use it. And then you can run. Then you increase the speed just like you would for any other treadmill, and you see how it feels. So, of course, if you feel any discomfort, then you change the setting to where it's taking off more of your weight. So you can you can take off 90% of your weight, and then you can practice running, but you're only using 10% of your body weight. And then say the next time you come, maybe you can switch it to 85%. And then the next time you run on it, 80%. And it works out really well for letting you gradually get back into running after time off, which is especially helpful if you've had an injury to, say, your leg or your hip. Like I said, I'm no doctor. I can't tell you when is the right time to use an Alter-G treadmill. But if you go someplace where they have an Alter-G treadmill, it's going to be a medical facility where they can guide you, where they are, where they do have the credentials to guide you in how to use it properly. And you can even get a prescription from your physician for the physical therapist so that they can put you on this Alter-G treadmill. I've used it several times in my life, and I think it's wonderful. Twice I had stress fractures, and both times I was 6 months out, or actually less than that, like 4 months or 3 months out from one time it was Marine Corps Marathon, another time it was Chicago. And especially with Chicago, by the time I was able to get off the Alter-G, it was only 3 weeks until the race. So I was certainly not able to build up a typical base, but I ran the race fine. I mean, I did not have any discomfort, any pain. I wasn't as fast as I'd like to be, but I absolutely did not re-injure myself. I had no discomfort where the stress fracture had been. So that's the thing. Just get guidance from your physical therapist. And I think that's a wonderful way to come back. Now, the other option, the other situation is, let's say you've been off running for a long time, and it's because life got in the way and you just got away from it. Well, my best advice is you basically have to start off as if you're just a beginner runner. Because if you haven't been running much, you have to build back up. The only difference is if you have been a runner and it hasn't been too long, like maybe you were running regularly 3 or 6 months ago, then you'll certainly be able to build up faster. But the big mistake that people make is that they assume they can build up faster. If you go back to it and let's say you do a walk run of 1 minute walk and 1 minute run, here's a mistake some people would make. They would do that from the very beginning when they leave the parking lot at the trailhead. Well, that's a mistake. If you haven't been running, you need to warm up first. So you should do your dynamic stretching, which is the stretching when you move, and you should walk. In the beginning, I would walk a whole mile before getting into any running, and I would walk fast. And this is a mistake a lot of people make. When they walk so slow that they don't elevate their heart rate. Walk at a good clip, at a brisk pace, till you're elevating your heart rate and you are getting some exercise from day one just when you're walking. But then run, but only do a little bit at a time. So maybe the first day you start out with 30 seconds running and then 30 seconds walking, or 30 seconds running and a minute walking, and do that alternating for a half mile. That might be all you should do the first day. Then you can probably increase that two or three days later. But what I would do is I would do that the first day, then the next day I would only walk, because you need to let your body recover because you're just getting back into it. Then the next day you might be able to build up. So let's say you were doing, let's just pull some ratios out of thin air. But let's say you were doing 1 minute walk, 1 minute run, and then you only walk the next day. Then the next day maybe you can do 1 minute walk, 1.5 minute run. And then the next day you just run. And then maybe you do 1 minute walk, 2 minutes run. And then the next day you just walk. And then the next day you might do 30 seconds walk and a minute run. So you drop the running down a little bit, but you're also making the walking shorter. And it's okay to continue to increase it like that if you're feeling zero discomfort and every day you're okay. But you have to take it very easily. And after, say, 10 days of that, then you might be able to go back to, you know, running a quarter mile and walking 1 minute. But I would still listen to your body. And if anything hurts, then go back to the original walk run, the smaller ratios, just for a day or so. But you have to listen to your body. And so many people, when they come back, they try to do too much too soon, and they get hurt. Even if the reason they weren't running were on a big break, even if it wasn't because of an injury, if they come back too soon, they will get an injury. And then the break next time, they might never get back to running. So you just have to be super smart. Treat yourself like a beginner runner. But if it hasn't been too long since you ran, or if maybe you're staying in shape by doing something else, maybe you're still playing tennis every week, then obviously you're going to be able to progress in your running a little bit faster. But it all depends on how out of shape you got and, of course, how long it's been since you ran. Another thing is try to do more other things like swimming that aren't stressful on the same muscles and joints as running, so that you can improve your fitness level without getting injured running when you're just getting back into it. Because the very worst thing that can happen is that you try to do too much too soon because you can't wait to get back to where you used to be, and then you get hurt again. So that's my best advice. Believe me, I've had plenty of breaks, not too many that were very long, but there have been times when I had some injuries and I ended up maybe having to ride a bike for several weeks and swim. And it's not easy. It is. It's really hard. So my heart goes out to you if you are not running because you're injured. I just came off of a long injury, and I may do a whole separate podcast about that, about how, all the investigation it took to try to figure out what was wrong. But we're all in this together, and it is always, always really tough to start back up. It's hard if you've been a serious runner before, and all of a sudden you have to act and perform and be a beginner again. But it's part of what makes running hard. I just did that last podcast about the mental stress of running. And that's part of it that I talked about. It's so hard when you're injured and you have to come back. And, you know, it takes tremendous mental strength to hold yourself back and force yourself to train sensibly and build up reasonably so that you don't get injured. Okay. That's all for that. Send me your comments. I haven't talked about this much lately, but I really love it when I post about the podcast on Facebook in the Mojo for Running Facebook group, and you comment and ask questions. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear what happened to you when you were injured or your secrets to coming back. It's always more fun. I'm always sad that I don't get to interact more with my podcast listeners from all over the world. I'm lucky that I get to interact with so many people every day here in Tampa, but I wish I could interact with more of you. I hope you'll follow me on Instagram. I try to post on there every single day at Mojo for Running. And I invite you also to follow Run Tampa. That's at Run Tampa, because I think it'd be fun for you to see what my local group does. And again, my podcast is to a great extent, well, almost entirely sponsored, or I shouldn't say sponsored, supported by my Patreon account. You can go to patreon.com/coachdeb. Even if you commit to $1 per podcast, if enough people did that, that would make a difference. Right now, even though I've had my Patreon account a few months, I'm going to be candid with you. I believe as of today, the amount I get per podcast is $93. That's not a lot. So believe me, it helps. Every dollar counts. So that's patreon.com/coachdeb. And you only get charged when I come out with a new episode. So I invite you to think of it this way. If my podcasts are helpful enough that you would buy me a cup of coffee, then maybe you would, this to me, it's the same thing as buying me that cup of coffee, because it makes it possible for me to continue doing this, because it helps me to pay my assistant more so that she can take more of the load off, so that I have more time to do more podcasts, which I really, really want to do. I have a long list of things that I'd like to do. I also want to remind you to watch the Human Race documentary and listen to my son's new podcast, The Internal Work. That's it for today. Now, here's today's quote.
The best view comes after the hardest climb.